And there's a word in verses number 6 through 9. Amen. Isaiah chapter 25, there is a word, verses 6 through 9. And then as we do, let's stand for the reading of the word of God. It's kind of a thing of respect. I think it may have been Hosea, I believe, when he read the scripture, the people would automatically, they just stood out of respect for the word of God. Praise God. So we do the same. I'm going to be reading Tony from the NET translation of the Bible, N-E-T. And we'll begin reading verse number 6 through verse 9. We're in Isaiah chapter 25. The Lord, who commands armies, will hold a banquet for all the nations on this mountain. At this banquet, there will be plenty of meat and aged wine. Look at somebody and tell them, I know them will be there. And you all know me now. I say stuff like that only because sometimes we're good CMEs, Christian Methodist Episcopal, and our style is generally to be tight and quiet. But I grew up at a CME church, and my home church, Lane Chapel, they spoke in tongues. They'd fall out in the spirit. Somebody would lay hands, and so that was a CME church. And so I thought something was wrong with other CME churches when they would just sit and look at each other. Sometimes they wouldn't even look. But nothing is wrong with either. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let me finish reading this scripture. At this banquet, there would be plenty of meat and aged wine, tender meat and choicest wine. Verse 7 says, on this mountain he will swallow up the shroud that is over all the peoples, the woven covering that is over all nations. He will swallow up death permanently. My. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from every face and remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. Indeed, the Lord has announced it. And the final verse that I'll read is, at that time, they will say, look, here is our God. We waited for him, and he delivered us. Here is the Lord. We waited for him. Let's rejoice and celebrate his deliverance. May God bless those who hear, read, and obey his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. I think I want to use the topic this morning, celebration time. All right. Come on. Y'all pray with me if you will. Look at somebody and tell them it's celebration time. I soliloquized in my mind's eye when we started, when we were having the ministers, Bible Sunday school study. Someone asked, how do we join in this celebration? When do we join? How can a local church join in this celebration? And somebody responded, I think it was Teeny, I believe, said, I think we celebrate it every time we get together. In worship, celebration time. In praise, it's celebration time. And we're going to look at somebody and tell them we're going to do that again every Sunday. Isaiah, the prophet, seems to hold all other prophets in a kind of eclipse. That is to say, Isaiah the prophet seems to have something greater and bolder than the other prophets. When I was in Israel preaching in Jerusalem, and when I preached on Mount Carmel, and when I preached by the seaside in Israel, I was excited about the fact that God, this is the Holy Land, and I felt like at each stop, I told the group that I was with I had to preach a 30-second sermon, and I would preach. Why? Because God has been so glorious. God has been so gracious. When I think about that preaching and that time, when I was in Israel, they called Isaiah, just a little information about Isaiah. Isaiah, they referred to Isaiah as the fifth gospel. Now, don't get quiet on that. You know the four gospels, the gospel of Matthew, the gospel of Mark, the gospel of Luke, the gospel of John. That's right. And they said the fifth gospel is the gospel of Isaiah, because Isaiah's teaching is a gospel. And then they said the sixth gospel is the gospel that you and I are writing every day of our lives. Do I have a witness up in here? In other words, we are doing something. We're writing something. We're handing something down to our children about how to function and to live properly in this thing called life. And don't look at me like I'm half crazy, because our children need to know how we made it, how we overcome. They need to understand what it was that kept us from pulling out guns and committing homicide or committing suicide. What kept you? And they need to know. They need to know clearly and pointedly what it is that has kept us. When I think about this, it is with excitement that the other prophets would always relate their call experience, normally in the first or second chapter. They would talk about in chapter one of their books, the other prophets, about how they met the Lord, how God called them. But those of us who have read the prophet Isaiah know that Isaiah doesn't say anything in chapter one about his call. I wish I had a witness here. He doesn't say anything in chapter two about his call. Matter of fact, you get in chapter six where Isaiah cries out prolifically that it was in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And the question arises, why did Isaiah wait so late before he, why didn't he say it in chapter one? Listen to it again. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, that's when I saw the Lord. He said, and then the King James Version would say, I saw also the Lord. In other words, he was saying, I saw a bunch of stuff. I saw some stuff that y'all thought I wasn't good enough to see. I saw some stuff that you all thought I wasn't going to be able to see. I saw some stuff you all thought I didn't have the ability to walk into and check out. Do I have a witness here? How many of us here can testify that by the grace of God, you've come into some things in this life that 'tis only been by the grace of God that you've been able to see, to experience, to look at, to behold with your own eyes? Do I have a witness up in here? And some of the stuff, other folk look at you and they try to disclaim the fact that you are not worthy to have experienced that. But we ought to rear back with our sanctified soul and cry out, I know you think I may not be ready, but can't nobody tell me what the Lord has done for me? Are there any witnesses up in here today who can testify that what God has done for me, he's opened up some doors. What God has done for me, he's made some ways out of no ways. What the Lord has done for me, he's fixed some stuff so I don't have to worry about something. Do I have a witness up in here? Yeah. We've seen some stuff, and it's by the handiwork of the Almighty God. The other thing I want to mention, and then we'll be through sharing just a couple of tidbits about the prophet Isaiah, is that Isaiah talks about this mountain. I think it's in verse 25, wasn't it? I mean, verse 6 or 7. He talks about this mountain. And I wonder, what mountain is he talking about? How many of us know that God and God's people have a lot of experiences with mountains? Come on now, y'all help me. Y'all help me now. Praise God. Y'all know I'm looking above my head. I believe there's music in the air. Glory to God. Yeah, God and God's people are experienced with mountains. Come here, Moses. It was on the lofty crest of Mount Horeb that God gave Moses the call to preach the gospel. I wish I had a witness here. It was up on Mount Moriah that Abraham was ready to offer his only son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. Do I have a witness here? It was up on the lofty crest of Mount Carmel that 950 prophets, false prophets, Baal and other fake gods, They would worship those gods, and they had a showdown with the prophet Elijah the Tishbite, and they met on Mount Carmel. And then Elijah said very prolifically, "You all call on your God first." How many of us know that when you know your stuff in the Lord, it's good? How many of us can testify? You let the devil go on and take all the chances you need. Hit him with your best shot. Because I've got something coming along after that. God is the only one can make it happen. Do I have a witness here? As a matter of fact, I believe it's a couple of folk in here right now. I'm talking about at Phillips Temple CME Church. A couple of people can testify that I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roll, felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. Can anybody testify? He promised never to leave me alone. On the mountain, never alone. In the valley, never alone. Heartaches, never alone. Disappointments, never alone. God promised never to leave me alone. But then, I bet few of us in here can ever forget about another mountain called Mount Calvary.
Watch out.
Mount Calvary is really a hill. I went to Israel, and I called my team that I was traveling with. I said, "I got to preach a sermon on Calvary. I got to preach a sermon here at the foot of the cross." And I preached, but it's just a hill, and it's shaped like a skull. When you look at it, you look like you can see eyes and nose and mouth. It looks like a skull.
Yeah.
But also it was called the place of the skull because a lot of people were crucified, and their skull, their remains were hanging around Calvary. Do I have a witness here? Can anybody testify it was on a hill?
Far away.
Far away.
Stood
an old rugged cross.
Yeah.
It was an emblem of suffering and shame. Can anybody testify? But I love that old cross.
I love that old cross.
Where the dearest and the best, a world of lost sinners, were slain. It was the old rugged cross. That's my testimony. Do I have a witness up in here? I don't know about you, but I thank God for Calvary. That's where Jesus hung. That's where he bled. That's where he died, on Calvary. But how many know that fight between the best of hell and the best of heaven didn't have but three rounds? Do I have a witness here? First round was on Friday. And after the bell rang, Satan walked to his corner and said, "I know I got this. I know I got God on this number." Then Saturday came around. Satan looked up, and when the bell rang, Satan said, "I know I got this one. Nobody can come back after this. I'm going to hit it with my best shot." But the Bible says, those who read it know that somewhere between midnight Saturday night and daybreak Sunday morning, something happened on that hill. An earthquake came. Angels descended. They came and the soldiers shook and fell as dead men. And then God raised Jesus up from the dead. Do I have a witness here? Can anybody testify that? No matter what else I say today, no matter what else preachers around the world are going to say today, that I thank God that Jesus lives. I'm glad that he lives. Jesus is alive today. That my Savior rules. He super rules. Do I have a witness up in here? He's the one who bought my redemption, who bought my captivity and led captivity captive and set me on a solid rock. Do I have a witness here? Yes, I am sometimes falling, sometimes rising. It's tough sometimes. Feel like giving up sometimes. But God keeps tapping me on the shoulder. Say, "Walker, get up, get back in the fight. This thing is already won. You already have the victory." Glory to God. Glory to God. Lord, I feel all right now. Now here's some of the irony of Isaiah 25. Is that Isaiah 25 lets us know two good things. It gives us a lot of points, but two good things. One of the things that Isaiah 25 lets us know is that God is above us. You know, you've heard the expression, he sits high, but he looks down low. He can see us. But the other side of this thing is that God not only looks down at us, but the God we serve every now and then. And I say it like that because it doesn't mean once a year or once every 10 years. I mean, when God gets ready, he comes down. I don't know how. He comes down from the lofty crest in glory, and he comes and hangs around you and I. So he's not only above us, but God is with us. Do I have a witness up in here? God is with us. I like that. I remember, Vincent, when I was pastoring in Rome, Georgia, on the Atlanta district. And I was in my early 20s. I was pastoring all that. And I remember my parents had pointed out they were coming to visit me. That was days before cell phones. So they said they would arrive that Friday at some point, try to get there before night. And in the interim, Bryant was about 6 or 7 years old. No, he was probably about four or five years old. And he had done something. Anybody heard of what they call time out? So, just checking, make sure Brian not. But he, you know, I'm gonna tell the truth. I had placed Bryant in time out. I don't even know what he had done, but he had. So I put him in time out. And in the interim, while he's in time out, my family drives up. So they knocks on the door and they come and we hug and kiss and all that and we're glad to see each other. And then my dad, Bryant's granddad, said, "Now you know who I'm looking for." And I said, "Who you looking for?" He said, "I'm looking for my baby. Where is Brian? That's my future preacher." He used to say that years ago. And I said, "Oh," I said, "I had to put him in time out." And Marie and Z, and they, Marie has a daycare center that she's been running for 40 years, 50 years. And she said, "Oh, Wayne, that's good. I didn't know you knew about time out." I said, "Oh, it's a good thing." She said, "That's a real good thing. I use it today with my children." And I said, "Okay, so Brian is in timeout." Daddy said, "Oh, so he can't come out right now." And I said, "Well, we can get him out." And so Dad said, he blew my mind. He said, "That's all right. He can't come out to me." He said, I can go over there in timeout with him." And I had some chairs lined up. My dad climbed over and got in time out with Bryant and gave Bryant a big hug. I looked at him, I said, "Come on out, Bryant, you can come free. You can praise the Lord." How many of us know that God not only is above us, but God can come and see about us? God is concerned about what we go through and about what we deal with, whatever we're involved in. God is not the kind of God that looks at us, said, "Oh, poor Wayne Walker, poor Rick, poor Reverend Kelly." God knows how to come down and check us out. Do I have a witness here? Praise God. Let me hurry up and finish here. I'm going to point out three things, and then we'll be through. Three things real quickly about this whole business of this mountain of God, this mountain. And I believe this mountain of God is Isaiah is talking about stuff that's happening at that time, but also Isaiah is somehow looking through the periscope of time into the future, and he's looking at you and I, but he's looking beyond us. He's looking at what God's going to do when he sends his son back again to reign and super rule as the Lord and creator of the universe. And so Isaiah is writing this stuff, and we're going to look at three things, and we'll be out of here, y'all, I promise. Do I have a witness here? I'm going to start with verse 9. I'm going to do an ascending. That's going up, isn't it? Yeah, I'm going to start at the bottom with verses 9 and 10. I'm going to go all the way up to 6, and we are out of here. Is that all right? Yeah. Stay with me now. Y'all hold me up. Imagine, just say, "Brian is preaching, Brian is preaching, Brian is preaching." Just imagine. The first thing I'm going to lift up in verses 9 and 10 is that we see God as a protecting God.
Yes, he is.
How many of us know that God knows how to protect you? God knows how to protect your children. God knows how to protect your marriage. God knows how to protect your child in the school system. God knows how to work the best for you and your family. God knows how to protect and to keep you from harm and danger. I love the way the Word of God lifts it. It says that in verse 9, it says that we trusted in God and He saved us. Hallelujah. I believe there are a couple of witnesses up in here who can testify that I put my faith in God. And then God turned around and saved my soul. Hallelujah. And I know that's not popular talk today, because I think when I moved to Indianapolis, 90%+ of the people who came to church went to church in those days. Today, I think some of the best stats are that 40 to 30% of people who believe in God go to church. So the picking gets kind of lean. But how many know we can still make it happen? We can still make it happen by the grace of God. We can still accomplish great things. And then verse 10 says, the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain. God is going to do some great things, some powerful things. The Bible is clear that God protects His people. It's very clear. I think I'll leave most of this stuff out. I don't need to go through all that. Hallelujah. Let me see. Yeah. God is strength for the needy. Amen. God is strength for the hurting. Yes. Now, I didn't mean to leave y'all out. If you're the big baller, God is for you too, as long as you got God. But I did want to include the needy, the poor, the hurting. Because in that day, in Isaiah's day, and in 2016, we have a tendency to leave out the hurting. But I came by to tell you that if you've got God in your life, that God knows how to defend the hurting. God knows how to defend the poor. God knows how to help those who don't seem to have any help for themselves. God knows how to step in. Do I have a witness up in here? Yeah, what a mighty God we serve. I think I said at the first service that would to God that all of us could be like lepers. Y'all know what lepers in the Bible, lepers have a disease, and lepers had to, when they got close, I think it was within, I forget now, 50 feet or 25 feet, got close to somebody, they had to holler out, neighbor, beware. Don't come any closer. I am a leper. They had to stop. And the people could be warned because they felt it was so contagious that if you got close, it could kill you. Lepers had to cry out. You know what I wish to God in some strange way, that we were lepers. Now, I don't want us to be sick now. I don't want anybody to be sick. But I wish we had that propensity to let it be known that I stood in need. And when they saw Jesus, the 10 lepers, when they saw Jesus, they said, here's what they said. They said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy, not just on me, but have mercy on all of us. Do I have a witness up in here? Here's why I wish we had lepers. If we could treat each other like the lepers treated each other. If we could cry out, Lord, bless all of us. Not just Anthony Seymour. Not just Dwayne Walker. Not just Reverend Kelly. But Lord, bless all. Do I have a witness up in here? In other words, God wants to do a mighty thing in all of our lives. Do I have a witness up in here? Lord, if we could just be like lepers. Other thing I like about lepers is one thing, and I'm going to get back to the sermon, but lepers, they were dying. And we don't need to get quiet on that, because how many of us know that we're dying too? Oh, yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. That suit make you look good. I look cute in my suit, but let me tell you this. I'm dying. I mean, you know, you look good in that dress, but you're dying. Do I have a witness here? You're dying. But here's what I like about the lepers. Even though they were dying, they were still trying. Do I have a witness up in here? And when I look at you today, I'm excited about your being here. There's a lot of empty seats. We're going to fix that. But I came by to tell you that I'm excited that you are here. Why? Because, yeah, I'm dying. But we're also trying. Do I have a witness here? We're trying to treat everybody right.
We're trying to treat others as we would like to be treated. We're trying to respect our elders. We're trying, in spite of what we're going through, to do a little better than anybody else. Do I have a witness here? Look at somebody and tell them, I ain't making it. I don't make 100, but I'm trying. I make some mistakes sometimes, but I am trying. Folk laugh at me. They talk about me, but I am trying. They laugh at my dress. They laugh at my pants. They say, you look at your pants, they're sagging. You don't belong in no church. But I'm trying. Lord, thank the Lord for somebody who's trying to lift up, trying to move on in the name of the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Thank God for somebody who don't mind trying. Another thing I want to mention, and I'm going to hurry up and get on out of here, is that the lepers, maybe not the lepers, but the people of God believe the reason we look up, the reason you're here trying, the reason I'm here. When I come here, I'm not coming as some kind of excellent soteriological professor, teacher, preacher. I'm coming as a person just like you, coming to have a glimpse of God. I want to hear from the Lord. I kind of want to cry out, Father, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I'm crying out, stay thou nearby, Lord. Please don't leave me alone. Do I have a witness up in here? And I believe I'm not the only one. I believe I saw one hand over yonder. Somebody's crying out, Lord, help me. Lord, help my home. Help my family. Help my neighborhood. Help my school. Help my church. Lord, have mercy. Help us. Glory to God. Glory to God. I remember years ago, I think I may have shared it with the children. I don't know if I did or not, but if I did, I'm going to share it again. I remember years ago, I was preaching, and I was preaching in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I remember I took a flight from Indy to New Orleans, landed in New Orleans. I preached the hell out of them down there in New Orleans. Who was here back then? Somebody, let somebody know, raise your hand if you knew I could preach one time. Ain't nothing now, but okay, there's a couple of hands. I could preach one day, hallelujah. I'd wear them out. I went to New Orleans, I preached. And so when time was to end, so I'll treat my phone like it's a Bible. This is all I had. I caught my plane in those days at that particular airport, that flight going back to Indy. We would walk out a gate, like a runway or something, and then we would have to walk out on the sidewalk and then walk up a ladder or steps to get on the plane. So I did that. I had my Bible. This is my Bible. I had my Bible. I was walking like everybody else. And then some people looked at me and they started laughing. I said, look at him. And it was in the day when Jim Baker? He and his wife, Tammy Faye, at that time, they had some challenges. And so they said, look at him, ooh, look at him. They said, you surely don't believe in that Bible after Jim Baker made all those mistakes, all those sins. I said, I sure do believe in my Bible. I said, my mom and dad taught me the Bible. They didn't teach me Jim Baker, but they taught me the Holy Bible. I still believe that God is in charge, that God is a deliverer, that God can destroy, God can defend, God can speak a word. God is the only one that make a tree stand up and die. I wish I had a witness here. God controls this thing. And so I kept walking, and they said, man, how can you still believe in that Bible after Jim Baker? And so I went on, I got on the flight, they laughed, I tried to show, you know, some kindness. I said, well, praise God, I still believe God now. And so I got on the flight. Then once we were settled, we fastened our seat belts, and the tray table was in its locked position. The back seats were in the upright and whatever they call. And so the plane took off. When the plane got in the air, after about, I don't know, maybe 30,000 feet, 25, the pilot radioed back. He said, we're about to approach our flying altitude. And we want you to know that we've received radio warnings that we're going to approach a storm. But he said, I know what to do. We're going to fly above the storm. So he said, just relax, enjoy. You'll be served a meal. It's going to be a great flight. So I said, okay, all is good. Then we went higher and higher. The higher we got, more lightning I saw. The plane, ever been on a flight, man, when the plane is kind of, ooh. I'm going to tell you the truth. I got the Holy Ghost. But I was kind of scared. Just, you know, I was a little scared. I'm human. I was like, Lord, but I prayed to God. I said, Lord, please, God, keep us. And so I went on. I'm kind of like Martin Luther King Jr. Anybody remember Dr. King? Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King used to say, I love, ever how he talked, you know, I love flying. But Martin King would say, but the last time I read the Bible, it said about Jesus that low. I am with you. So Martin King would say, so I'm like Jesus. I want to stay on the ground if I can. I wish I had a witness up in here. So, but anyway, the plane got higher. And then the guys who teased and laughed earlier, when that plane started rocking and stuff started flying, the stewardesses were locked in their seats, and the guys who laughed and teased were saying, where's that preacher, man? Where? They said, did you pray before we got on here? I told them with a smile, but yes, I was. It's some superstars. I'm not Fred Price. Frederick Price will say, if you are riding a flight and I'm on that flight, you know you're going to make it safe. And he said, because I'm on here and God's going to take care of me, so you're going to be safe because I'm safe. And I didn't roll like that, but I just said, you know, I've called on the Lord and I've trusted my life in God's hands. God's going to take care of us. And so then these same gentlemen, they said, did you pray for us too? I said, yes, sir, I did. And they said, okay, praise God. So finally we made it through the turbulence, and it was almost until we got to Indy. And then it started clearing off a little bit. And when we deplaned, the guys came to me. Thank you so much for believing in God. Thank you. Thank you for holding that Bible. Thank you for believing in prayer. And I just wanted them to know that, yes, prayer, though, it ain't predicated upon does God answer every prayer I pray. You already know the answer. No. Sometimes God tells me no. But thank God, sometimes God says yes. Do I have a witness up in here? Sometimes God blesses. Sometimes God delivers. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me see if I can get out of this sermon. That's just one thing. God protects. And this thing I want to lift up, not only does God protect, but God provides. In verses 7 and 8, it was interesting to me because it says in verse 8, it says, one day God's going to swallow up death. So that lets me know God, through the prophet Isaiah, is talking about some futuristic stuff. Because death hadn't been swallowed up yet. You know, but there will come a time when death will reign and rule. But God, y'all, provides. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 14, it says this, that Abraham came to a location and he called that location Jehovah Jireh. And what it meant was this location to remind me that God does provide. Do I have a witness up in here? The real question for us is that will God provide for blacks, poor whites, poor Native Americans? Will God provide for those who don't have some of the context some of us think we have? And I came by to tell you, somebody already said it, Faye or somebody, that yes, God will provide. Even if you don't have anything, even all you have, to where the churches are dressed that don't look, and some students, they're not going to do it here. But, well, no, I better take that back. I'll say they shouldn't do it here. But they should not come up to you and say, that you ought to get out of here. That dress is too short. Do you think you coming to a club, ma'am, or something? What you trying to do? No, what you ought to be saying is, thank God you came to church. Hallelujah. Young brother, young boy, I know your pants are sagging, but you all right here. Nobody here is going to cuss you out. Why? Because we're glad you're here. And here, I like Jeffrey Johnson's approach. Jeffrey Johnson, Pastor Johnson, would say that I'm hoping that with their short dresses, with their sagging pants, they'll look at some people like Rick. They'll look at some people like Walker. They'll look at some people like Brother Bonner and see them with their pants up. They'll look at ladies and see them with dresses where the top line is not too low.
Too low.
And the bottom is not too high. And they'll say, I need to be like that. And they can come to the clothing store and pick up some clothes, and they can look like they need to look in the name of the Lord. But until they can get it, how many know they are still welcome? We still love them. We still encourage them. We still motivate them. We still let them know that you're at the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. God provides. God provides. God provides. Downtrodden. God provides. God provides. God provides. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me skip some of that. Let me see. Yeah, we all mess up, but God provides. God provides. And I want to say this. It's really okay to be kind to people. I want to make sure you heard that. It's okay to be kind to people. It really is. I know some of us feel like we cheated God and we cheated ourselves if we show somebody some plain old-fashioned respect. Remember the day when we used to could speak, and if we didn't know the person, but we kept on walking, but we didn't cuss them out. We just, you know, but now, man, Lord have mercy, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, we in need of you. Hallelujah. Lord have mercy. Because here's the deal. God did not save me to make me cuss out you about anything. God didn't make me a preacher to make my job be to cuss you out every Sunday. If I were you, I'd be like, you know what? That boy can have that church. I'm going somewhere where somebody gonna give me something to encourage me. I wish I had a witness up here. And let me go to the other side of the coin. God didn't save you to be a steward. Didn't save you to be a stewardess. Didn't save you to be in the choir so that you can cuss out other folk, tease other folk, and laugh at other folk. When the last time he been to church, I ain't never seen him. I ain't seen her. God didn't save you. God saved us for us to set the ambiance, for us to set the atmosphere, that other people will see the power of God. And they want to say, I want to come in and join that band. Do I have a witness up in here? Glory to God. I'm just trying to get out of here, y'all. I'm trying to get out of this thing. Glory to God. God saved us so we can be an example for other folk. And you can't be an example by cussing folk, laughing at folk. How are you going to be an example? How am I going to be an example if I'm going to laugh at somebody all the time? Some folk need encouragement. Some folk, okay, let's give that. Some folk are doing the best they can.
That's true.
And some folk need just a little direction in the right way. Just a little direction. That thing I used to do on prayer with the finger prayer, and I would say the thumb is the one closer to me. We ought to pray for folk in our families, close to us. Help us. Pray for folk. Things that when we see politicians mention some things that make an impact on our lives, we ought to pray for them. The next finger, the pointing finger. Yeah, pray for people who point things out in life. Somebody can do it better than others. I think I'll say that again. Some people can point out things a little better than others. Some folk don't know how to point nothing out without saying, I never liked him. I can't stand her. I can't buy the chair. That's not what we do. We pray for people who point out stuff that we need, that will help us, that will motivate us. Do I have a witness up in here? And then the tallest finger, this one. Point out people who stand above some stuff, a little bigger than the mess other folk deal with. That's why I point out President Obama. I'm kind of like that little girl. You saw her on Facebook or something. She was crying because her grandmama told her, this is President Obama's last year. And the little baby said, you kidding? You joking with me? And probably about 4 or 5, grandmama said, no, this is his last year. We got to get a new president. And she cried, don't get rid of President. I kind of feel that way too. Only when I look at the mess that's out there. I miss somebody who has the audacity when he's entertaining someone head of state from another nation, and they're from China, and they walk in, and they say, whatever, Shamrock, and Obama will say, God bless you, we're delighted to have you. And they will say, how dare our president acting like some kind of fool, bowing before people. What Obama's doing is making the atmosphere conducive for that person. He's not trying to say, I'm below you, you're below me. He's trying to say that I want you to feel welcome, even at the White House. Do I have a way? Well, let me leave that alone. I see that ain't popular. Let me go on. Let me go on to something that you would like. So
that's true. That's adequate.
But verse 8 says, God gonna swallow up death. God gonna swallow it up. Then the last thing, and I'm getting out of here for real on this last point. This third point, the last one. Not only does God protect. Somebody say protect.
Protect.
Not only does God provide. Somebody say Jehovah Jireh. But look at verse 6. This is another reason why we ought to want to live right and treat others right. Y'all, it's simply because of this, that God blows our mind by knowing how not only to protect, not only to provide, but God knows how to promote us. Hallelujah. Verse 6, do I have a witness of it? God knows how to promote us. Do I have a witness here? Verse 6 talks about a feast. And I don't know about you, but I always hear Pastor McClory. He'll always say that I'm kind of looking forward to being in that great celebration. He would say, I love you all now. I love you all. He said, but I'm kind of looking forward to the other side. And we had a preacher that preached here. It was in the old building. That was almost 30 years ago or more. But he preached and he said, I'm getting up in my 80s, close to my 90s rather. And he said, I love you all. But he said, I got more kinfolk on the other side. Got more loved ones on the other side. And he said, I'm looking forward to that promotion day when God carries me to the other side. Do I have a witness up in here? In other words, God knows how to lift up the bowed down head. God knows how to ease the troubling mind by simply giving us a promotion. I don't know what it all is going to be like. But I remember hearing folk when I was growing up saying that one of these days, judgment day gonna come. Anybody heard it like that? Anybody heard judgment day? That things gonna change. They used to talk about the world gonna be on fire. And I listened to that, and I listened to that, and I think about the fact that God's gonna bring a great change. You know, in other words, well, maybe I'll try this one. Anybody ever played whist? Bid whist? Okay, bid whist, yeah. Yeah, and you ever play, when I was in college, I tried to play, I was never good at bid whist, but when I'd play with a partner, and we would always say, whomever was playing, we'd come up, we'd say, I got next. Do they do that here? Okay, I'm all right, yeah. So we say we got next. But what we meant by that was that you think your game is together, and you seem to be winning that game, but you wait till me and my partner sit down. You got some trouble coming. I came by to tell you that what God is telling us, letting us know, hold on. Don't be mistreated. Don't be fooled by the fact that everybody's doing some of everything. Don't give up because you see folk cussing each other out. Don't give up because it seems like nobody's trying to do what's right. Don't give up because it seems like everybody cussing out everything. Don't give up. Because God is saying, you hold on, you got next. Do I have a witness here? Early one of these mornings, might be late one evening, our testimony is that God is going to raise us up and promote us. Do I have a witness here? I believe, I don't know, one songwriter said he's going to give us 6 wings, 2 wings to cover our face, 2 wings to veil our feet, 2 wings to fly us over Jordan. I don't know about that, but I know one thing God is going to do. He's going to promote us to be in a greater land. Do I have a witness here? I know we think this land got everything, but there's something better over yonder. Do I have a witness up in here? There's something on up the road. There's something off in a distance. God got something good waiting on you and I. Have I got a witness here? Has God been good to you? Has God ever blessed you? Has God ever delivered you? Has God ever made a way out of no way? Has God ever tapped you on the shoulder to let you know, baby, hold on. It's going to be all right. Has he been good to you? Let me hear you say yeah. Let me hear you testify. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You brought me. You brought me. Nobody else could do it. God, you brought me from a mighty long way. Come on, let's put our hands together. Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There may be somebody here right now. Maybe someone.